I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of... I'm sorry. I just always like to let that song play out. Someday I'm going to let it play out the whole time, Kim. I'm just letting you know, talking to my great producer, Kim Sanders. Welcome to Middays with Susie Larson. Today's a bit different of a day. I want to spend the hour walking through some of the content in my book, Your Beautiful Purpose. But guys, don't tune out, because this, even though the word beautiful tends to have a feminine connotation, you use the word beautiful if you're honest, right? You'll look at a gorgeous sunset and say, that's a beautiful sunset. Maybe you look at your wife and say, she's beautiful. You use the word. And you think about Ephesians 2:10. It says, we are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus, so that we can do the wonderful things he planned for us long ago. So guys and gals, you're God's masterpiece. You're his poetry. You're his story. You're his gift to the world. That's why I don't want you to tune out. I believe this message is for both men and women alike. And it's really a deep, deep message for me. I've studied the idea of purpose for many, many years. And I think what I have to say today may encourage you greatly. I'm excited to tell you that we've got 5 copies of Your Beautiful Purpose, thanks to Bethany House, and we're throwing in 5 DVDs. So you'll get a book and a complimentary DVD. That's a $45 value. 5 of you will get a $45 valued gift. All you have to do is email middays@myfaithradio.com. Put Your Beautiful Purpose in the subject line. And then again, don't forget your mailing address. So what is your purpose? You know, the call of God looks different on each and every one of us. One of you might be called to work in children's ministry, one to raise a bunch of amazing children. One would be to be Christ's light in the marketplace. Another might be open a battered woman's shelter, or write a book, or speak to young teenage girls, or whatever. The way that we walk out our call will look different on each one of us. But here's what's consistently true for every single Christ follower as it relates to the foundation of our purpose in God. The first is walk intimately with God. You were called to be much with him, to walk with him, to have a personal, thriving, intimate walk of faith. It's not even something that you do. It's something that you are, where you make time every day to spend with the Lord. You're in the Word every day. In fact, studies have shown if you're not in the Word 4 days a week or more, we won't be changed by that word as much. You know, you won't make life choices and have a biblical perspective. The chances of you being radically changed by the word of God go down significantly. Now, the word is powerful. It's living and active. Any time you're getting the word in you is powerful. But I'm saying if you want to have radical life change, and studies are showing that, get in the word every single day. So walk intimately with God. Create some time and space where you listen to what he has to say. You read his word. You do what he says, all right? Second thing is, you do the next thing he tells you to. You know, it's not rocket science. We listen for the voice of God, and then we do what he says. Well, thirdly, if you dare, you give him access to your story, which means giving him access to your character, which means letting the Holy Spirit correct and direct and refine and maybe speak to you about maybe inconsistencies in your life. But just a side note, God is always calling us up. The enemy is always beating us down. If you could picture Jesus putting his hands on your shoulders saying, you know what, you're too important to be making decisions like that. That's how he calls you up. You know, he might say something like, you know, your tendency to show up late everywhere you go. You and I both know that's not about time management. It's about self-protection. You don't want to be known. Can I take that from you? I want you to have faith and a holy confidence. You need to be known. People need to know what I've taught you. Or maybe that fear, let me take that. So give him access to your story. And then finally, if you dare, ask him to do the impossible in and through you. I dare you, ask him to do the impossible in and through you. In the Gospels, we read about a time when the disciples, who some of them were seasoned fishermen, were in the boat and a storm, a gale force winds. It was a storm that was big enough and deadly enough to scare the most seasoned fishermen, because these guys thought they were going to die. And in the whipping wind and the waves and the just being pelted, imagine their hair flipping every which way, waves just crashing into their boat. They're screaming, scared, we're going to die. And they see this being coming across the water, and they actually think it's a ghost. And Peter, being as hasty and just full of faith and whatever he is, you know, he says, Lord, if it's you, He said, call me out of the boat, into the water. Now, we can make that into a sweet little Sunday school story, but imagine again the context. These guys think they're going to die. The storm is so significant. Some of these dudes think a ghost might be coming to us. And I'd like to joke that I have the spiritual gift of suspicion. I think I've read too many Christian suspense novels, but I'm telling you what, if I were in a boat thinking we're going under in a storm, and I thought there's even the slightest chance that being coming at me on the lake might be a ghost, I wouldn't say, hey, Lord, if it's you, in the chance that it's you, call me out of this dangerous situation to an even more dangerous situation. I wouldn't do it. So I had to study a little bit to figure out, is that actually what Peter said? And what I learned in Dr. Warren Wiersbe's commentary, that actually what Peter said was, Lord, bid me come, which is a command of a king, which actually what Peter was saying and doing was, Lord, I know you're the king, that you rule the wind and the waves, and I know your voice. I know what you sound like. If you call me out, you will hold me up. I mean, think about that. Right in the midst of the storm, Peter so identified with Jesus that he would know, if I heard your voice, and I know you rule the elements, if you call me out, you will hold me up. This is the thing. Faith plans for the future in the face of fear. Another place we see that is in Jeremiah 29:11, an oft-quoted verse where we hear that God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. When we quote that a lot, we pray it a lot. It's a powerful, encouraging verse. But did you know God gave that to a people in captivity? While they were in captivity, he was saying, while you're in captivity, plan for the future. In the face of your fears, have babies, plant gardens, dream that you have a future. And I'm telling you, in the place when you're in a storm, when it seems like the enemy is railing against you and you can't even think purpose, you're just thinking survival, it's in that place where the kingdom person dares to say, Lord, bid me come. Call me out of this dangerous situation into a more faith-engaging situation. Lord, I'm believing that you've got plans to prosper me, not to harm me. So what is your purpose in God? How you'll walk it out will look different than how I walk it out. But you're called to be much with God. You're called to do the next thing he says. You are called to give him access to your story, which includes your inconsistencies, your fears, the things that maybe keep you up at night. And then you're called, if you dare, to ask God, do the impossible in and through me. When I was a young mom, and some of you know the story, so forgive me if it's a repeat, but you know, I came into marriage, I was still a fairly new believer, but I had so much passion and just dreams, and I wanted every wall in my house to be covered with a Christian plaque. Those were really big back in the 80s. And I just thought, you know, walking with Jesus was the best thing ever. And then I went into storms like you can't believe, and people even told us, you know, because we had so many trials coming our way. Have you read the book of Job yet? And just to give you an example, it felt like the furies of hell were aimed at me. And part of that was with Lyme disease for me as a young mom with three little kids so desperately sick. And one of the things that disease did was went after my brain. So I had short-term memory just wiped out, chronic headaches, dizziness, blurred vision, fatigue, joint pain, neurological numbing all the time. And it was terrible. And I remember in that place, so our finances were a wreck. My body was a wreck. And I'm still just in my young 20s with three little boys who were party waiting to happen. And my friends, you know, had health. They had their money. They were taking trips, building additions on their house. And I just really did feel like a have not. I didn't know if or how or why God lost my address. So I really didn't have any more vision for my life at that point. It was truly what was on my heart was, Lord, help me live long enough to see my boys grow up, you know. And I remember sitting on the floor playing with my boys, just not having very much strength or energy. And I had holes in my jeans before that was a thing and a cool thing, just because my jeans were worn out and we were poor. And I remember getting a call from a gal from church who was just a prayer warrior. And I remember too at that time, especially with Lyme disease, it was such a, people didn't know about it. It was 29 years ago. And so some would accuse me of, you know, trying to get attention because it was in my head. And I'm thinking, if it was only in my head, I would give anything if this wasn't real. But others felt terrible for us. And this gal called saying, I'm hearing all the chatter about you, about everything you're going through. And I wanted to know for myself, what is this? You know, why, God, are you allowing this family to go through so much? So I got in my prayer closet and I brought your case before the Lord. Boy, she had my attention. She said, you listen to me, Susie Larson. She said, God gave me a vision of a platform that he's building with your pain that you'll speak from someday. So she said, lean into this time and learn everything you can, because you will have a story to tell. I knew it was true. In the midst of the chaos in my body, the wreckage in our finances, I knew it was true. A truth bomb dropped into my soul. And prior to that, every morning before I went out to just be a mom, I would look in the mirror to see if this was the face that day that my face dropped, because I had so much facial numbing. They said, don't be surprised if you end up with Bell's palsy where your face just droops. And so, imagine that for a 20-something young mom. I would look every day. Is this the day my face is going to drop? You know, I would look at my kids and think, oh, what kind of mom am I going to be with such, 10% strength? I mean, I had so many dreams for you. After that call, something rose up in me. Nothing changed circumstantially for me, but I would look in the mirror, put my hand on my numb face and say, you will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. I would look at my boys, put my hands on their head and say, you will be mighty in God someday. I would hold up my empty checkbook and say, my God will somehow supply all of my needs according to his riches, not mine. And you know, God really confronted me with the question, Susie, are you a believer just because you've secured your eternity? Or are you a believer because you believe this stuff? You're in a storm. It's time to shift your weight onto the promises, whether they feel true or not. And that is when I did. And that's when God forged a faith in me that was my own. I shifted my weight all of my life onto the promises of God. And guess what? The anchor holds. His promises are true, and they are as potent as they've ever been. And I'm telling you, it's in those places where it does seem like the furies of hell are aimed against you and the waves are crashing into your boat and the enemy is lying in your ear, where he just so does not want you to dream about your future. He doesn't want you to dare to say, here in this place, God, give me a vision for my future. Give me some promises to hang on to. What are seeds that I can plant in the ground with faith and water with my tears? Because you promise that when I do that, I will come through rejoicing, laughing, and I will have a harvest in my arms. Give me a vision for not only the other side of this storm, but what the call of God looks like in my life. Give me a vision, Lord, and then bid me come. We're going to pause here and take a break. I'm Susie Larson, and we're walking through the content of my book, Your Beautiful Purpose. And again, guys, even though it has the word beautiful in it, your purpose is beautiful. God is making an amazing story out of your life, and it's a masterpiece. We're giving away 5 copies, not only of the book, but the companion DVD. The DVD is about $30. The book's about $15. 5 of you will get a book and DVD together. Email if you want in on the drawing, middays@myfaithradio.com. Put purpose or your beautiful purpose in the subject line. Always remember that mailing address. That helps us a ton. And I will be back in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Middays with Susie Larson. We're doing something a little different today. We're walking through the content of my book, Your Beautiful Purpose, Discovering and Enjoying What God Can Do Through You. And I said at the outset of the show, dudes, guys, this is for you too. Even though I use the word beautiful, and that sounds like a feminine word, I'm telling you, you use the word. I bet you've even used it in the last couple of days. Well, guess what? Your purpose is masterful. You are God's masterpiece. That's why we're talking about it today. In fact, I have a copy, 5 copies of Your Beautiful Purpose, along with 5 DVDs, companion DVDs. Those are $30. The book's $15. 5 of you will get that $45 gift pack. All you have to do is get in the drawing this way. Email middays@myfaithradio.com, middays@myfaithradio.com, and then put purpose or your beautiful purpose in the subject line, and then remember our mailing address. So what I want to just set up again, I was talking about your purpose. All of us will walk it out in a little bit different way, but the 4 aspects to our purpose that is just consistently true for each of us as Christ followers are as follows. 1 is to be much with God, walk intimately with God. 2, do the next thing he tells you to. 3, give him access to your story, to your character, because if you want to be prepared for that next place of promise, there will be a character refining season where he goes after your fears, your insecurities, even the things that cause you to rise up in self-preservation. All of those things have to go because God wants to get you ready for that next place. And then finally, ask him to do the impossible in and through you. In one of my favorite devotional streams in the desert, it says this, I love it. Earnestly desire to get alone with God. If we neglect to do so, we not only rob ourselves of a blessing, but rob others of a blessing as well, since we'll have no blessing to pass on to them. It may mean that we do less visible work. Listen to that. It may mean that we do less visible work, but the work we do will have more depth and more power. Another wonderful result will be that people will see no one but Jesus in our lives. I love that. Here's a verse I want you to think about. And I'm telling you, if we spent the rest of our lives trying to understand this, we would be richer for it. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently in his presence. And it also says in Ephesians, we've been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because of Christ Jesus. So we own those now. We have access to him. We can come boldly, confidently. And guess what? He's always glad to see us. So when you come boldly and confidently as a child of God, I want you to picture Jesus with a smile that goes all the way up to his eyes. He's so glad to see you, and that you have access to the riches of the heavenly realm. You can't even exhaust the supply that God has made available to you. So how do we do this? How do we walk out the purpose? Well, I borrowed this diagram. I wish you could see me, but I'm going to try to describe it for you from a friend of mine who let me use it. He said, if you picture a first circle, like when I speak on this, I have a slide, it makes it easier, but just draw a little circle. In that circle, consider that your known zone, also your comfort zone. Not a bad thing, not a bad place. My known zone is my place where I have all my commentaries and Bibles. I have several translations, a little table. I never put them away. They're just at my little table that I sit at every morning and have my coffee with my fufu cream in it. Just love that. My comfort zone is snuggling with my pit bull and reading a good book, getting on my bike, riding the trails as hard and fast as I can. Any time on a lake, love that. The highway that I take to the station every day, I know that highway and it's comfortable to me. So you've got your comfort zone, right? But that place is never meant to stay static. That place is either growing or it's shrinking. So if your known zone becomes a place that you idolize, that you really give way too much importance, and that everything you do serves that, like I have to stay comfortable, that becomes a place of idolatry. We're kind of a big deal in our known zone. You might know your way around your job, and you know. And now the next zone, though, is the learning zone. So let's say you do know your way around your job, and maybe you work in corporate America, but then you're invited to a mission trip, and you know God wants you to go. But as soon as you get into a third world country, you're walking down the streets of a village, you realize this is another planet. I don't know my way around. This was a mistake. Why? Because you're out of your known zone. You're in the learning zone. This is where you feel like a small fish. This is where you feel out of your element. And because we're such creatures of comfort, we want to run back, because as if comfort is the ideal place to be, but it isn't for Christians. It's a place to return to be replenished again. But let's say you're on that mission field and you think, you know what? No, I heard God right. He wants me here. So you enter in and you start to get to know the people in the village. You kind of get over yourself and you learn your way around. Well, guess what happens to your known zone? It starts to grow, because what you know grows, and it grows into that learning zone. You come home and your friends ask you how the trip went. You tell them it was fantastic, and you invite friends from work to that next mission trip. Guess what? Your known zone has grown, and you're taking people into their learning zone. And then the third zone, so you picture the circle is your comfort zone, then the circle that's a little bit bigger that surrounds it is your learning zone, and then the bigger circle is the faith zone. And I like to say faith brings on a little nausea from time to time, because this is the place where you go, I am so stepping out that if God doesn't show up for me, I'm going to die. I'm going to fail. And you know what? We cannot please God without faith. Your faith is so precious to him. If you want to fulfill the purposes of God, if you want to do everything he's intends for you to do, you've got to go from the comfort zone to the learning zone to the faith zone. You've got to travel in and out of those places. Always be willing to learn something new. Always be willing to put your weight on the promises of God. And it is an adventure. Now I'm going to talk just a little bit about these three phases that we tend to go through. Let's just say we're all on board. We all agree that God has a next place of promise for us. And he wants us to look up. He wants us to ask him for vision. He wants us to ask him, do the impossible in and through me. That first phase of that dream come true is a dream far off. And the dream far off is where motivations are revealed. So you get a dream and suddenly you go, oh, I'm doing this, God. I'm ready to do this. And suddenly you find yourself jealous of others who are on that same path, but a little farther down the path, suddenly you're feeling like impatient because you're like, God, I'm in agreement with you. I want to do this. I'm ready. And he's saying, no, having a dream put in your heart and being ready to fulfill it are two different things. And in that time in between the dream conceived and the dream achieved, there's the preparation time. And what comes up in you will at times dishearten you. And that's what the enemy will do. He'll use that time to say, see, you're disqualified. The fact that you're jealous, the fact that you're picking other people apart who are further down the road, disqualifies you. And the thing is, everybody has a mixed bag of motivations. Everybody is a pile of contradictions. God is a loving, invested Father. It isn't just enough to have gifting to get there. He wants you to have character so you can stay there. You know what I mean? Gifting may open the door. Character keeps it open. It's not just enough to get to that place of promise. God wants you to be able to fight your battles and win your battles so you can move on to the next place of promise. In other words, he wants to preserve your calling in its purest form. So he will extract from your character the very things that the enemy will use against you. This is where people drop out because they don't want the preparation. They want the prize. They want the palace. They want the platform. But if you're serious about doing everything God has for you to do, know this. There will be a valley of preparation. First, he takes you up to the mountain. He shows you the promised land. He takes you down into the valley of preparation, and it's not for sissies. It's not for the faint of heart. And that's why so few come out of the valley with their dream intact and their flesh in the valley. Most people refuse to die to their flesh, so they leave the valley with their dream behind them and their flesh intact. They won't bend under the disciplined hand of God. But you know what? The fact that he disciplines us proves that we're his children. That's what scripture says. So the dream far off, that's where motivations are revealed. The next phase is the dreams up close, and that's where your fears are confronted. So if you stay humble in the valley of preparation, if you let God have his way in your character and you lean in and say, have your way, God, teach me, show me what to do. I'm telling you what, one foot in front of the other, you will make progress, and there'll be a day when your toes are wiggling in the grass at the edge of your promised land. And then suddenly the dream is up close. In fact, it's so close you can reach out and touch it. And what happens in this phase is suddenly your fears come up. Where before you're like, God, I'm ready. What are you waiting for? Now you're like, I'm not so ready. I could totally mess this up. It's like your humanity mixes up with this far off dream. And suddenly you realize I could fail. I could make a fool of myself. This was such a big thing for me. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not ready. And this is where God says, actually, now you're ready. And you know what? Giants will appear, but those giants are going down because God knows what he's doing. He takes his time with you. Once you get to that place where the dream is up close, put those fears under your feet. God is with you, and this is time to take the land. There's a third phase we're going to talk about on the other side of the break, and that's the dream realized, where your faith is strengthened. Also going to talk about the battlegrounds we walk through as we're getting prepared for our purpose. I'm Susie Larson, talking about my book, Your Beautiful Purpose. We've got 5 copies along with a companion DVD to get into your hands. Enter the drawing this way. Email middays@myfaithradio.com. Put purpose in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address. And we will be back in a moment. So many good songs. Thanks for tuning in to Middays with Susie Larson. I'm talking today, drawing from the content of my book, Your Beautiful Purpose, Discovering and Enjoying What God Can Do Through You. And my big disclaimer to you guys is that even though the word beautiful is in the title, this isn't just for gals. This conversation today is for you as well, because you've used the word beautiful before. I know you have. When you look at a sunset, when you look at your wife, when you look at a painting, you say, that's beautiful. Well, the truth of the matter is you are a masterpiece, created anew in in Christ Jesus so that you can do the wonderful things he planned for you long ago. We're walking through just the phases of laying hold of our purpose in God. And if you just hopped on, I want you to make sure you go back and catch the podcast, because we've had some great conversation even up to this point. We have 5 copies of the book, Your Beautiful Purpose, along with 5 DVDs. The DVD is a $30 value. The book is about $15. So 5 of you will get a $45 gift pack. All I want you to do is email to get in on the drawing, middays@myfaithradio.com. Put Your Beautiful Purpose in the subject line and remember the mailing address. So before the break, we were talking about these phases of your dream come true. And that first one is that dream far off. When you finally dare to dream with God, to say, okay, I believe that you've got something for me to do. I'm not a have not. You've not lost my address. I'm not going to sit and watch everybody else kind of find this life-giving purpose. I'm your heir. I'm your child. I believe it. That dream, when you start to conceive it, before you achieve it, there's a time that passes, a time of preparation. And that's when your motivations come to the surface. And that's when God wants to do some refining of your character, preparing you for the purpose. Well, the next phase is the dream up close. If you stay humble and you stay teachable in the valley, when those motivations surface, when you let the Lord have his way in your character, you will end up with your toes on the edges of that promised land, where before you were like, God, I'm ready to do this. And he's like, no, you're not quite ready yet. This time, when you get close enough to that dream where you can touch it, let's say the book contract comes in the mail and you're about to sign it, your humanity is about to mix with this far-off dream that's been far off for so long, fear comes up because you're thinking, I could fail. I could mess this up. Maybe it's your first day of a new job where you're so excited, but now you're getting ready to get ready to go. And you're thinking, I don't want to fail. I don't want to embarrass myself. Fear comes up. The dream up close is where the fears are confronted. Where before you're saying, I'm ready, and God's saying, no, you're not. Now you're like, I'm not so ready. And God is saying, ah, yes, you are. And those giants are going down. Well, that third phase then is the dream realized. And it's when your faith is strengthened. When you start to step onto your promised land, you're carrying a heavier weight. You're managing more than you've managed before. Well, God increases like your spiritual muscle density, and your capacity to operate at a new level increases. It's an amazing thing. I mean, talk to people who manage a lot and ask them how God prepared them. Could they carry 5 years ago what they're carrying now? We couldn't. But as we lean into God's preparation and his process, he makes us ready, right? Well, I want to talk about something that comes up back in that first phase, when the dream is far off and you're just waiting for God to do his thing. The temptation is to get critical of others who are doing what you want to do, and you think, I could do it better. That attitude has to go. Jealousy, in fact, scripture, I almost never hear preachers preach on this passage, but it's in the Bible. Listen to this. James 3, verses 15, 16. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Listen to this. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Do you see the progression? They start as earthly. You coddle jealousy, it goes to unspiritual, and then you continue, it becomes downright demonic. The Bible says, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Do you see? Jealousy is a gateway sin. And what I learned, because there was somebody, you know, I battled in my health, and there were other people that just made it look so much easier. And I remember when I had just laid down the calling for a while, because I felt like God wanted me to, and my hubby and I served as volunteer youth pastors at the little church that we were in, and it was an act of obedience. It wasn't what I wanted to do. I love youth, but I felt like it was probably third or fourth on my gift set. I really felt called to write and speak to women, and but God was like, not yet. You need to do it. This is your assignment for now. And in that place, he very much refined my character, and I had a woman who stopped by in that season and said, you just wouldn't believe it. I'm speaking all over the world. And she said, I don't even have to prepare. I just grab the same notes and go do my thing all the time. And people keep asking me to speak. I can't keep up with it. And I never even thought of writing a book. And basically a contract landed in my lap. And here I am writing a book. What are the chances? And I'm like, and I'm smiling and dying on the inside. And I wasn't happy for her. I was faking it. I was smiling, but going, she didn't even want to write a book. I mean, I've had a dream of being published for years, Lord. And then I felt so convicted the next morning. I just like hated myself for it. I'm like, Lord, that's so petty that I couldn't be happy for her. I'm so sorry. And the Lord whispered to my heart, if the closest you ever get to this ministry of writing and speaking is praying for her, even though she never would ever know that you're doing that, would you do that for me? And I paused and I thought, I'll have to get back to you. I just couldn't give him an honest answer. And it took me 3 days of fasting and praying and wrestling with my will, because I love God more. But I was sure I heard from him that this was going to be part of my calling. But I got up to my quiet time that morning and just said, Lord, you know, I thought I heard you, but I want to serve you. And this isn't my life. I was bought and purchased with a price. So if the closest I get is to go face down and intercede for her, though she may never know it, yes, I will do that. And I went to the floor, I literally did, laid down, face down on the carpet, and started to pray for her. My being was flooded with peace like you cannot believe. And I interceded faithfully for quite some time until just the burden to pray lifted. And then I know it was a test of my character. I didn't know at the time, but once I got through it, I knew it was. And the Lord gave me this kind of visual of a fork in the road, that every time we come to a place of jealousy, where we are tempted, where someone has what we want further down the road, especially in the kingdom, we have two choices. We go down jealousy's path. You imagine you're taking the bait and going where the enemy wants you to. It will wreak havoc. It'll wreck relationships. It will diminish your influence. Nothing good can be achieved there. But he says, if I show you someone who has what you want and what I've put in your heart, it's not to dangle a carrot in front of you to make you feel bad. It's to show you what's possible. And besides, you don't even know what her call costs her. How about you have her back? How about you pray protection over her? And then you ask me for more. And so I started to say, Lord, protect her from jealous people like me. Protect her. I don't know what her call cost her, Lord. I pray you'd establish her in her calling. But by the way, I'll have what she's having. I'll have a little bit of what she's having, Lord. Make me as bold as she is. Help me to pray like she does. And I've been preaching that message for years, and I'm telling you, I've heard from people who've said, when I stopped being jealous and I started to intercede for people, I started to see that I was part of a bigger story. And this is just what's true. You stay humble, you stay teachable, you let God refine you and prepare you, you will have forward movement in your calling, and guess what? You will excite the jealousies of others. Do you want them to stab you in the back and to pick you apart and to be petty, thinking, I can do it better than she could, I can do it better than him? Or do you want to have people behind you who fear God, who see themselves in the bigger story, to say, there is more work than workers? Remember what Jesus said? The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. In other words, he's saying, there's more work than workers, so don't be threatened by the few. Step up and be one of them. There's more work than workers. Do not be jealous and territorial. That has no place in the kingdom of God. This is a very critical part of our character preparation. If you're jealous of other people in ministry, it means you're not ready yet. It's not condemning. I'm just saying there's an invitation, because it's not so much. It's not just the question, what will you do with what God has promised you? The question is also, what will you do with what God has promised them? This is a key place of character refinement and training. And when you can pass that test and intercede with really a heart of passion to say, our enemies are against us and opposing the gospel all day long. I am not going to be so petty as to be jealous of another coworker in the kingdom. The work exceeds the workers. There's more than enough work to go around. Lord, establish them in their calling. I celebrate their calling. Establish me too. Establish me. Make me bold and brave like he is, like she is. I'm telling you, you'll start to see things change as you pray and walk forward in the call of God in your life. Well, in the book, Your Beautiful Purpose, I walk through some very common training grounds that people go through. And as I've interviewed people on the air over the years and I've traveled around, I'm telling you, these are tried and true and tested. Anybody who's accomplished anything has gone through, I would say, every single one of these, if not, you know, a handful of them in a deep, deep way. The first one is betrayal. The enemy hopes beyond hope that you will misinterpret these as offenses and then react in an offensive way that puts you right back under the discipline of God. But if you can step back and say, these are training times, these are training grounds. William MacDonald calls this training time for reigning time. So betrayal is that first training ground. And the question is, will you curse those who curse you? Will you gossip about them? Or will you humbly forgive and entrust their story and yours to God? Because what you do with betrayal is a great test of your character and shows your readiness for your next place of promise. Another one, 100% of the time, across the board, if anybody who's done anything of substance, it's this: they've walked through financial hardship. They've walked through a time where they didn't know if they would have enough funds or where the funds would come from. And the temptation in this place is to grab for yourself, is to get three jobs that God's not asking you to get. Now, if he's asking you to get a second job, he'll make it clear. I always say wisdom's path is peace. If you have the peace of God to get a second job, then do that. But keep your wits about you in this place. If you're walking through financial hardship, remember the promise of God. My God will supply all of your needs according to his riches, not yours. Put your weight on the promises of God. Lord, I've got a vision for my life. I mean, someone once said, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. Do you have that much confidence in God? If he's called you, if he's called you out, he will hold you up. He will provide. Be wise with your finances, but know that he will supply according to his riches, not yours. Another one, another training ground would be rejection or the sense of being overlooked by the right people, right? A friend once said to me that man's rejection is God's protection. But this is just what's true, is when you're in the training season and you know there's a gift of God on you, and God uses you in some significant way, and you look up, and all the right people are looking the wrong way. Like they totally missed it, and they miss you. And the temptation is to point at yourself and say, hey, did you see me? I'm a thing. Can you see there's a gift of God on me? But the person of faith says, you know what, God, you see me. I see you. And one day you will establish me. You know, give the people who are missing you the benefit of the doubt, but say, you know, enemy, I know what you're trying to do here. You're trying to diminish me. You're trying to tell me I'm disqualified, that I don't count, that I'm a have not. You know, there may seem like there are popular circles in the kingdom, and there are cliques. There are those, you know, where you feel like there's the in crowd and the out crowd, but that's high school. In the reality of the kingdom, you're in the center of the circle because you're in the center of God's heart. There's no haves and have nots except for those who have faith and those who don't have faith. That's it, period. Okay? So we're talking training grounds, betrayal, financial hardship, rejection. There's a few more, but I'm going to pause here while we take a break. I'm talking and drawing from the content of my book, Your Beautiful Purpose. We've got 5 books and company DVDs to give away. Email to get in the drawing. Middays at myfaithradio.com. Middays at myfaithradio.com. Put purpose or your beautiful purpose in the subject line. Don't forget the mailing address. And we'll be back to talk about these training grounds in just a moment. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome to Middays with Susie Larson. Today, we're walking through the content of my book, Your Beautiful Purpose, discovering and enjoying what God can do through you, giving away 5 copies of the book and the companion DVD. It's a $45 gift for 5 of you. Email middays@myfaithradio.com to get in the drawing. Just put purpose, your beautiful purpose, in the subject line, and then remember that mailing address. We're walking through right now common training grounds that every believer goes through. Every believer who dares to trust God for the purpose and the call of God in their lives, they will go into a valley of preparation. And the thing is, the enemy hopes upon hope that you'll get offended with God because you're walking through a hardship. You'll misinterpret the trial, and then you'll put yourself right back under the discipline of God. But if you can keep your wits about you and say, I'm in training time for reigning time. That's what William MacDonald calls it. I'm in a training season because, you know what, in Psalm 18, it says he trains my hands for battle. You know what, he makes me to stand on high places. He gives me the feet of a deer. That speaks of agility. Those things don't just happen. We're trained in the valley of preparation. We're made agile by how we dodge the spears coming at us from the enemy. We put our shield of faith up to block the arrows. We navigate the landmines that are under our feet. That's how we become agile. That's how we're trained for battle. Well, the first three we talked about before the break, betrayal, financial hardship, rejection. Another one that's very common for people in training that I've just interviewed so many people, I'm very fascinated by the whole idea of calling. It's this one, disillusionment with a ministry, organization, or church. You know, once you get close enough into a leadership role of any kind of ministry, you'll kind of see the innards, the guts, right? And you see that it's an imperfect organization. And it takes maturity to sort through that in a redemptive way. And oftentimes it's the immature that back off and they will tell everybody what they saw. They get offended, highly offended. They don't guard their heart. They start to usurp authority and undermine their leaders. That's immaturity. And it's a lack of a fear of God. When you're disillusioned, now let's say this though, and I've interviewed Anne Graham Lotz and others who've walked through spiritual abuse. There are bad leaders who misuse their power, and that's extremely painful. I'm telling you, I'm thinking of who would dare to do that to Ann Graham Lotz. I mean, she's Billy Graham's daughter, for crying out loud. But she was. She wrote a whole book on that kind of a thing. It does happen, and it's so painful and disillusioning when it happens in the kingdom. And there are other times, though, when it's not really a spiritual abuse kind of a thing. It's just the everyday workings, the inside workings of ministries. That's just not always pretty because we're human, right? But still, the question is, what will you do with that information? Now, in the first scenario, you may have to talk to key leaders and do so with the fear of God. Well, I always say, wrestle with honor and walk in the fear of God. The temptation may be to walk out and lambast everybody, write off the whole church, the whole ministry. They don't know what they're doing. That shows immaturity and a lack of fear of God. This is a test of your character. Love covers, you know, and there's a way to do this. It's not cover up. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, will you walk in a fear of God and will you wrestle with honor? That's a training ground. Another one is past baggage. This is another training ground. And this is not an issue for God because he's paid for all of your past baggage. But hear me when I say this. When God is about to do a new thing, the devil will bring up an old thing because he wants you looking back when you need to be looking up. I now know that when the enemy brings up an old thing, it's because God is about to do a new thing. Hear it again. When God is about to do a new thing, the devil will bring up an old thing because he wants you looking back when you need to be looking up. Okay, the final training ground, there are more, but this is the final one that I address in the book. It's this. It's someone else's blessing. What will you do when someone has everything you want? And I hope I can get this story in the short few minutes that we have left. But here we lived in our little suburb for 7 years when we were first married. That's when so much pain and heartache happened with the Lyme disease and everything. We moved to Colorado for a year because of a job opportunity that didn't pan out. And we were there for a year. We came home just rootless, wandering, exhausted. By this time, we're in our early 30s. Most of our friends were on their second home, had money in their account. Because our finances were so messed up with our medical debt, we still weren't ready to buy a home financially. We couldn't do it. So we're renting a home. And I'm grateful that we had the provision, albeit it wasn't a lot, but to rent this little home. I will tell you, I didn't know at the time, I knew it after the fact, that I was walking through a mild depression at that time. So my perspective, it was like I had a lead blanket on me. I had no motivation. It just the series of losses and hurts had caught up with me. So I was mildly depressed, didn't know it. The home we rented was this pea yellow, if I can just say that on the air. Hope I don't get in trouble. But it's this yellow color that reminded me of what I just said. Inside, the walls, the carpet, the siding on the whole thing was the same yellow. And it was like my life, colorless and just, yeah. And at that time, a friend said, I have this mutual friend that you have to meet. She reminds me so much of you. She has three boys, similar ages and names, and she had a little girl. Well, part of my sickness is I had to have a hysterectomy in my 20s, and I always wanted a girl, but I had the three boys. I love my boys. I hear I'm depressed. I would have loved to have had a girl. Couldn't do that. But she said, and she lives really close to you. So she introduced us and we set up a date to let our guys play. But here I live in this little place, little house with a stick tree in the front yard with a postage stamp yard. I cross over this busy highway 2 minutes away and it's rolling hills, big Victorian houses. I'm telling you, I could smell the scented candles from the curb. I mean, everybody, this is where the blessed people live. I'm just saying. And I'm like, to drive a minute to rolling hills in big Victorian spreads. I mean, how does that happen just a minute from our house? I had no idea. And I show up and this dear woman is one of the sweetest women I've ever met, pulls me in, greets me, wraps me in a hug. And I learn that her husband only needed to work 4 hours a day, made six figures years and years ago. That was a lot of money back then. It is now too. So, and they did ministry together with the extra time, but he worked from his home. My husband at the time was working three jobs. I was depressed and we lived in a yellow house that resembled, you know what, right? And her boys were just fun and a party waiting to happen. Her daughter was just like a daughter I would imagine to happen. But I'm telling you, it brought up everything in me. She had everything that I wanted. I loved her so much, but it just confirmed my heartbreak. And one night we were invited over there for a sledding party and we show up and I see the candles in all the windows and I was so depressed and my kids were so excited and I'm traipsing up the front snowy yard and my middle son, who is strong-willed and so excited, says, Mommy, watch out! And he'd thrown a snowball in his excitement, but it was an ice ball. He pegged me in the temple accidentally and I went to my knees in the front yard of this perfect friend's house and all of the years, 7, 8 years, let out and I guttural sobbed into my mittens And I had a goose egg growing in my temple. And my son is like, oh, I'm so sorry, Mama. And I'm like, it's not you. But I'm like, you know, I'm sobbing. It just all came out. How embarrassing. When I finally rise up and pull myself together, my nose is running. I have an egg on my temple. And one of my friends, other perfect friends, answers the door. Hey, I'm so-and-so. She introduces herself. She's cute as can be and perfect looking. And I'm still having the aftershock of the tears. You know how that is when you go, you know what I mean? My nose is running. I got this goose egg. And I'm like, I'm Susie. And I live at the pea house across the way. This is like not my shining hour. I literally had a wretched time. I hid in the bathroom most of the night. My kids had a blast. We get home and we tuck our kids in bed and we sit on the couch in the dark in the living room, put my head on my husband's shoulder. And I just felt the weight of our last 8 years. But all of a sudden, my hubby scoops up my hand and we almost instinctively together started praying the prayer from Habakkuk. And it goes like this: though the fig trees do not bud and there are no grapes in the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. It was like something picked up steam in us as we were declaring, we don't have what other people have, but we have Jesus. And the peace of God just flooded my soul. And it was like he spoke to my heart, Susie, you can't think these things automatically come with Christianity. It seems like they do with American Christianity, but they don't in the core of Christianity. You're not guaranteed these things. And you need to know that you won't have all these things, because if you assume that you're entitled to them, you will be tempted by them. Your hope is not in people, not in financial provision, not in acceptance and popularity and status at a church or with a particular ministry. These are training grounds so that you know you serve a God that to be reckoned with. These things will come and go, but my love for you, my call on your life, that will never change. It's irrevocable. Something changed for me in that moment. And I'm telling you, don't misinterpret the training time, because it's preparing you for reigning time. Listen to what Eric Luthy wrote. Powerful. He says, there's absolutely no excuse for you to stay where you are right now. If you are weak, he can make you strong. If you are timid, he can make you brave. If you are a pervert, he can make you pure. If you are selfish, he can make you selfless. If you are a shepherd, he can make you a king. If you are mediocre, he can make you a mighty one of valor. Jesus doesn't need men and women who merely esteem him as great, but believers who are willing to be made great by his life. And A.B. Simpson said, God is continually preparing his heroes. And when the time is right, he puts them into position. In an instant, he works so fast, the world wonders where they came from. Man, I hope that encourages you today, not only to persevere when the storms are rough, but to get a vision for where God might be taking you. I think far too many Christians are just living a get-by life. They're reacting to their stuff, reacting to their fears, obeying their fears, being bullied by their fears, and they're taking an easy route, and they're living and camping in their known zone, in their comfort zone. But what if you rise up? What if you step out and say, bid me come. God, do the impossible in and through me. Give me a vision that's so impossible that as I achieve it with you, people who knew me when, who see me now, will say, you know what? There has got to be a God in heaven. No way did he accomplish that on his own. I'm telling you, I'm asking you, dream with God, because he's dreaming. He's dreaming for you. You are a masterpiece created in Christ Jesus so that you can do the amazing things he planned for you long ago. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray for my friend today. I pray that he would rise up. I pray she would rise up. May we rise up, oh God, right in the midst of our circumstances and trust that you are God to be reckoned with and that you're looking the earth over. You're looking for faith. Lord Jesus, we want you to find it in us. Father, forgive us for coddling our fears more than we cling to the promises of God. Forgive us for fearing man more than we fear you. I want to honor you with my life. I want to revere you. I want to hold fast to your promises. I know life on earth is short and eternity is long. So I want to live as one who is spoken for. I want my life to be so strong in faith that it echoes into eternity with a loud and mighty roar. Thank you, God, for your patience with me. I'm asking you now, call me up because I know you'll hold me up. Call me out because I know you'll establish me. Love you, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, I hope you found some encouragement here today. And again, I want so much. I wish I had a bunch of copies to give away, but I've got five along with a companion DVD. Email middays@myfaithradio.com. Put your beautiful purpose in the subject line. Do remember your mailing address. I want you to walk with God so intimately, so courageously, that when it's all said and done, there are no regrets because you took God at his word. We'll meet you back here next time. Have a really great day. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.